Hey, truthers. I'm sorry, I have to do it. I just have to. I love it so much. Welcome back to another episode of So True with Sophie Ross. I'm your host, Sophie Ross. I'm coming to you from my new mic. And don't I sound so clear and amazing? This is really exciting for us. But you already know the vibes. This podcast is sponsored by Adore Me Lingerie. And Adore Me just launched their first ever bridal collection with the most chic styles. I'm not even a bride and I'm obsessed. Go to adoreme.com/bridal-lingerie and use my code SOTRUE10 for $10 off your order. I'm so excited for you guys to hear this episode. It's with Kendall Cunningham, entertainment writer for The Daily Beast. She's so insightful, so smart, has her finger completely on the pulse of pop culture. We talk about Summer House, of course, Stassi's new book, ew. Is Allison Williams making a comeback? Question mark. Our real feelings on the cultural phenomenon known as Euphoria, Jack Harlow once again, Travis Scott's attempt at a rebrand, Cara Delevingne's recent antics, and so much more. There's just so much, you guys. You're gonna love it. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love if you could leave us a 5-star review. It would make producer Bob and I so happy, and Bob is the best. He's working on this as he's getting ready to go to his bachelor party. So a 5-star review would be amazing. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. I am here today with Kendall Cunningham. She is a prolific entertainment reporter for The Daily Beast and an amazing writer and pop culture commentator. How are you today, Kendall?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I actually, once again, I've had to say this so many times over the past like few weeks that we've recorded. We keep having like technical difficulties, so we already did this intro, but I'm doing it again, and I'm going to make the same comment again that I am taking Kendall's podcast virginity. This is her first podcast, and I'm so excited for that, and also that I was just stalking her author page on The Daily Beast. Everyone go check it out because she has so many juicy stories to dig into, and we're going to get into all of that, but first, I want to get into like your backstory, where you're from, and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Baltimore. I still live in Baltimore, and I'm hoping to make the move to New York this summer. I'm looking for places now, and it's a struggle, but I'll be there eventually. So I started writing, taking journalism seriously, I would say, like, in the middle of college. I was like a journalism major all through college, but I think I really discovered that like entertainment journalism was something that I could like get paid to do and like take seriously as opposed to just like, you know, working at a news station or, you know, the Washington Post or whatever. I had an opinion article for my college newspaper that talked about Black social issues and looking at, you know, entertainment through a Black feminist lens. And then I had my first published piece in like 2018. I think I was like a senior in college. I stayed in college an extra year, so a super senior. And then, yeah, I just started freelancing. I kept freelancing for like, I think right at the 3-year mark, that was when I finally got hired for my first like staff position at The Daily Beast. So 3 years of freelancer. And then I've been a staff writer at The Daily Beast for about 6 months. So yeah.
Amazing. Hard work pays off.
It does.
And yeah. And, you know, being a journalism major also, we were talking about this in our first go around, yeah, but we're starting over. But I was saying how being a journalism major, I feel like so many, my college in particular, shut down their journalism school right as I was graduating. And they, everyone who was a journalism major was grandfathered in, but then they kind of shut down the journalism school. And it's like, you can be a media or communications major. But I feel like it really is so important to have like a journalism background sometimes, I think.
So is it like a thing where like, because my school was like, my major is mass communications. And then they were like, oh, you can do like a journalism track. Is it like that instead of just like a journalism major?
You can't even like do that anymore.
Oh my God.
It's really like people really were counting it out back in 2014, 2015. And I think that, you know, with digital media and all of that just growing, I feel like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's a very valuable major to have.
Yeah.
Or a valuable track.
Writing is like the most important skill you can have. Wait, what school is that?
Indiana University, Hoosiers.
Oh my God.
But I know, very, very unfortunate.
Very sad.
I know, because they had a really great journalism school that was very prestigious. And they were like, okay, never mind. This isn't going to be a thing in a few years, you know?
So
I actually, I know that you obviously are big in like the pop culture. You have your finger on the pulse, obviously, of everything. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? Because I know that, you know, we met on Twitter and we, I'm sure you follow a lot of other writers also.
Mm-hmm.
And my feed has just been full of people getting laid off from Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, do you have thoughts about that?
Yeah, I didn't realize until this last like set of firings, like how many like prolific journalists that like I follow on Twitter were working for Netflix, because they haven't like been promoting their work at all. So I had no idea that they were even like, some of them were even like working for Netflix this whole time. But yeah, it's like really depressing and sad. And like, I don't know, just watching them like hire, particularly like a lot of like women of color and like, you know, building all of these platforms that are dedicated to like minority voices and like queer voices and stuff like that. And then to be like, well, we're just going to like abandon it all. And like the whole like 2 week severance thing that somebody tweeted about was like gross. Like it's just, and then like, and then I saw another tweet today about, I didn't read the original story when it came out, but when they announced the Stranger Things season four, and they apparently they spent like $30 million on like either the entire season or like each episode was $30 million. And I'm like, that is absolutely crazy. But yeah, it's just like
$30 million an episode is so insane.
For a show that like I don't think people care about at all anymore. I personally don't care about. But
about Stranger Things?
Yeah, I was very into like the first two seasons. Like the second season was when I was like, okay, this is like my shit. I like the show. And then the third season, it just like flew out the window. I don't know what, they added too many characters. But anyway.
Yeah. I think that's like a big problem with Netflix is that they take so long in between seasons that like, I feel like you just stop caring. Like the audience grows up and moves on because it takes years in between seasons, you know?
Yeah. And even with like between like the second and third season for Stranger Things, it took like, it was like multiple years. And I was like, I lost interest.
Yeah, it's like I've moved on with my life.
And they all the kids look like 50 years old. I'm like, you guys aren't like the cute little kids I fell in love. I mean, they're so cute, but like, it's just weird seeing that jump.
Yeah, but like, they're post-puberty, you know? Like, we were watching them pre-pubescent, and then they were kind of like awkwardly going through puberty, and now they're like full-grown adults.
Yeah, Millie Bobby which Brown is just, looks like a 35-year-old mother of four.
I know.
She
looks... I know, and like, I'm not saying this to be shamey or like... body shamey. It's like she has an amazing body, but like it's the way that her team dresses her. They're doing a disservice to her. They put her in gowns that a 35-year-old mother of four would wear. Right?
No, I literally tweeted. I was like, there was a picture of her. I think she was on the set of Jimmy Fallon's show, and she had like blonde hair and like a bang. And I was like, I thought this was Whitney Rose, because she literally like her facial structure and like the bang. I was like, I legitimately thought this was her. And people were like, yeah, that's what she looks like. But Yeah,
that red carpet that she was doing, I think it was the Stranger Things premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was wearing that like black gown with like a white bodice strap, I don't remember, but like I didn't know who it was until I looked at the comments and they were like, Millie Bobby Brown. And I was like, I never would have known, literally.
Yeah, I think the short hair was really the only like defining thing about her. I think she's just, she's one of those actresses who has one of those faces where like, you know, she doesn't really have a lot of like defining features, but
yeah,
she's very cute, but
yeah, exactly. And speaking of Whitney Rose, I want to like circle back to the Bravo universe, because I know that you are a big Summer House fan, as am I.
Yes.
Everyone knows this about me. What were your thoughts on part two of the reunion?
Okay, so literally before I logged into this call, I was like, this is going to be so nice. I get to expel like all of my leftover Summer House thoughts from the reunion.
Yes.
I thought on a production level, it was really bad. I thought the questions were bad. I don't feel like we really like got to the bottom of things. I feel like there was too much time focused on like the Austin Sierra Lindsay triangle, which like I get was important, but like it didn't feel like we were asking the right questions about it. And Andy, I couldn't even tell if Andy like watched the season, because he seemed like he didn't really know what was going on. Like he kept like asking them questions like, oh yeah, like you didn't tell her, or like you didn't know like the glass was thrown. And I'm like, where have you been, Andy? But yeah, I thought on a production level it was bad, but I thought I loved the like disparity between like what Amanda, Sierra, Paige, and Maya thought they were doing by going after Lindsay, and then like the social media reaction, which was just like the complete opposite. People were like, this is bad. Why are you guys doing this? You guys are bullies. I appreciated that. I thought that was funny. But yeah, I don't know that I enjoyed it compared to like the last reunion, where it felt, because Andy felt like way more invested in that one to me. I was like, okay, this is where you like were bored with the rest of us during the pandemic and like sat down and watched it. But yeah. What did you think?
Yeah, I was seeing comments about that too, that it seemed like one of those reunions. Like I've heard, I don't watch Below Deck, but like a lot of people have said that Andy like doesn't watch Below Deck and then he goes into the reunions like not knowing what's going on, which is like not okay. And I didn't notice that while I was watching it, but like, yeah, he definitely should have dug in more, I think, with Amanda and Kyle's fights.
Yeah, I was shocked at how little time we spent with them, because like their fights took up 70% of the season.
Right. And it was just like so weird how Paige had such a visceral, like burning hatred for Lindsay all of a sudden. Like, what was that about? Like, I swear that Craig is, like, influencing her. And I think also, I was, like, reading this online, like, some theories that I think that Amanda, Sierra, and Paige might be a little bit bitter that Lindsay kind of overshadowed them with her Carl romance and her hot hub summer. Whereas, like, Paige thought that her single summer and then settling down with Craig would be, like, the fairy tale story of the summer, and that Sierra would get her fairy tale with Austin, Lindsay ruined that, and that Amanda and Kyle's wedding would be like the focus of the season. Their wedding / engagement is the focus of the past four seasons. Like, I did not.
Exactly.
Like, it was strange that after so much buildup, they gave us like 5 minutes of their wedding, basically.
Like, not even half of the episode, like a quarter of the episode.
Right. So I feel like they were like all kind of bitter because Lindsay and Carl were just like the runaway favorite, like first couple of Bravo, you know, when it broke that they were dating.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, I think that they were kind of threatened by Lindsay's like emergence this season as kind of just like, she's been a fan favorite, I think, but that her and Carl's relationship overshadowed everything. It overshadowed everything.
Yeah, I think, like, not that this was, like, planned or anything, obviously, but I think, like, the combination of her having, like, the sympathy edit or just, like, a very organic moment of sympathy with, like, the miscarriage thing, obviously, and then, you know, a sympathy edit later down the road when they, you know, came at her for being, tried to call her just like a slut, basically. For,
yes.
Better, for lack of a better term. But yeah, I definitely think it's just rooted in jealousy and the fact that Lindsay emerged as like, I guess certified herself as the fan favorite if she already wasn't, and like, you know, sort of overshadowed pretty much everyone else's storylines. But like, it's their fault though, because they're all annoying.
Yeah. And so, they were trying to like, I just get so annoyed that like Paige, season after season, thinks the audience is dumb and she can like gaslight the audience into thinking that like Luke is a manipulative mastermind and Lindsay is like a mustache twirling cartoon villain. When it's like, we see these people, I feel like, you know, we don't know everything about them, but I feel right. like Luke and Lindsay, like you can tell when someone's just themselves. Like they're, I feel like there's no act that they put on for the cameras. They're just genuinely themselves versus like, I don't know. Paige was so miserable at the reunion also, like her stank face the entire time. I think that she also was seeing the social media backlash. She deleted her Twitter.
Yes, which, I thought it was blocked at first, which is so, because I like interviewed her. She was my first interview for, once oh I my started God. Working at the Daily Beast. And I was like, I was pretty like high on Paige at that point. Like I was like, okay, like uh-huh. Paige is like, even though I found her annoying during like the Luke gang up situation, but I was uh-huh. like, I still think Paige is like funny and charming from time to time. And I gave her like, I thought it was a pretty nice, I mean, it was a standard interview, but I thought uh-huh. the intro was very flattering, I would say. And then just to like go from that and then just be like, I can't stand Paige anymore.
Yeah.
It was just like a very abrupt switch yeah. for me. But
I was never like on the Paige train, I'm going to be honest, because mm-hmm. I never really was invested because she never really had a real storyline of her own. It was always like gossiping about people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's like she never really had a storyline for me to get ever invested in.
And her romantic life was like off screen, so.
Off camera, right. So like, I was never on the Paige train, but I'm seeing so many comments being like, I was a huge Paige fan until this season. And yeah, I think it's not surprising to me why her and Hannah Berner are still BFFs. And I'm also not looking forward to seeing her on Southern Charm at all.
I could not watch Southern. I tried. I think I watched 2 episodes of Southern Charm. I couldn't do it. I was like, this is too just like oppressively white. I just I can't do this.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
But yeah, you can tell she thought this was going to be like a setup to like, you know, this like huge presence on Bravo, and she's going to be on 3 shows and she's going to be the most popular Bravo celebrity. And it's just, I love that she's completely fallen on her face in this way.
I know.
She deserves it. I mean, she really, the miscarriage stuff, the way she like brought it up at the reunion and just like, really just like cut to the core in a really like callous way. I was like, there's no reason talking about someone's miscarriage while not being able to look them in the face. I was like, this is just gross.
It was disgusting. And kind of like the dehumanizing like language that she was using. Like she was like, I don't care who you deem to be inside of you, worthy of being inside of you. And Sierra was like, whether he entered her or not. And it's like, why do they keep like using that kind of language? It's very slut-shamey. I like didn't like it.
It was like, just because you guys aren't like calling her a slut, like the audience is smart enough to know that you guys right. think that she's a slut, basically.
Right.
So like, we don't need you to say it. And like, you're not fooling anybody when Amanda's like, we weren't slut-shamey. And Amanda with her whole like weird, like, it sounded like the stuff I heard in like my Catholic school, like the sort of like purity culture stuff of like, you're giving a piece of yourself away. And it was
disgusting. It's like, that's not how it works. she was like, well, every time you fall for someone, you're giving a piece of your heart away, and then there's gonna be nothing left. And it's like, that's like, literally what? Not how it works at all.
No, every time I read a book, my brain just goes away. That's
yeah. Like, yeah. And then you like, you're giving a piece of your brain away, and then eventually you'll never get to read a book
again.
You'll
just never be able to read again. Like, I know. But this is the woman who like could not Google what a prenup was. So.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. And the whole like girls, girl. Yeah. That was like, so I'm like, it's not cute to be like naive about things like that, about like money and.
Yeah. It's not a cute trait. And also I'm like, okay, so you have never had to worry about money your whole life. Like clearly.
Right. Exactly.
You see from like your parents, like obviously you come from a wealthy family, but like to not care about it at all. I'm like, okay, I know why you think that way.
Right. And also like the whole like, well, you're not a girl's girl. And then as soon as they left the stage, they all went into a circle to talk shit about Lindsay. It's like, well, you guys aren't girls' girls. Like, yeah, what? Like,
being in a clique where you guys talk shit about people is not the same as being a girl's girl. Like, and Lindsay is a girl's girl. Like, Lindsay is very, like, she cares. I think she's at an age where she's, like, ready to settle down. And I think she's very invested in, like, the men in her life. But, like, you know, her and Danielle have a very good friendship. I haven't seen her, like, you know, I don't know, be shitty towards the women in general. Like, she seems fine to get along with. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, you never see Lindsay and Danielle, like, talking shit in bed, like, behind closed doors. Like, they're never, like, doing that.
And yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, we have so much evidence of you all talking shit about Lindsay, and literally, like, I can't even think of a moment where they've talked bad about Paige or anything. Like, they don't care. Like, right. Lindsay and Danielle are very much like, we're here to party, we're here to have fun, which is like the plot of the show. It's not laying in bed and talking shit.
Right.
But yeah, I literally can't. Like, I was like, do Lindsay and Danielle ever talk about them? And I'm like, I don't think so. Like,
Lindsay just like lives in their head rent free. And whenever I see Paige in bed, I want to be like Kim Kardashian voice, get off your ass and work. Like, what are they paying her for? I don't want to watch someone go to bed at 10 p.m. I want to watch someone go out and get crazy in the Hamptons.
I feel like it started during the quarantine season because they kept like making jokes about like her and Hannah just being in bed. And I was like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense because you don't really have anywhere to go. But I'm like, now that the world is like open pretty much, like, I don't know, walk around the house, walk down a hallway, do something. Like,
walk down the hallway, please.
No, it was so, I was watching the, like the Winter House teaser that came on, I think last week. Mm-hmm. And they're in the clip, she's like, they're playing some like outdoor, like beer game in the snow. And you see a clip of her like running. And I remember being like, this is jarring to see Paige run. I was like, I can't believe this.
There was like some headline. It was probably like an E, because you know E in Bravo.
Yeah.
It was like some E news headline. It's like, the new season of Winter House will have you seeing Paige DeSorbo like you've never seen her before. And Ryan Bailey was like standing up.
No, literally. I'm sure they were just referencing her running because I was shocked. I was like, okay.
So jarring. But staying in the Bravo universe, I also saw, like I said, I was stalking your author page on the Daily Beast, and I actually read this article, and I didn't even, like, realize, I didn't even put two and two together that it was your article when I read it, just because it, like, made its rounds around the internet. And it's about Stassi's new book.
Yes.
And I totally agree with, like, every word of it that Stassi is literally profiting off of her bad behavior and ranting about cancel culture in her book while also pretending she's changed when it's, like, very obvious she hasn't. But, like, can you, like, elaborate more on your thoughts here for everyone?
Yeah, so I am a very late Vanderpump Rules fan. I literally started watching, I like binge watched everything at the beginning of this year. Like, I'm
that late. Oh my God.
Like I'm in the era of Vanderpump Rules where everyone is like, why are you even, they're like, why are you watching it?
I'm so jealous, by the way, being able to watch Vanderpump Rules seasons 1 through 3. If you've never watched it before, it's like such an experience.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was a little bored in the beginning. I didn't find Stassi to be that riveting as like the protagonist of the series. And I think once she sort of like went to the background, I was like more into it, or got fired, whatever it was. So I knew about the Faith Stowers incident because I mean, I was familiar with everyone from Vanderpump Rules before I actually watched it, but I was like very happy that they got fired. I thought that was like really disgusting what they did. And I was like, this is just like another level of vileness and racism and disgustingness. And then, yeah, I got like very invested in the series. And then once I found out that she had a book, I was like, oh, interesting. So you're not canceled, even though, you know, that's the entire premise of the book, is that she's canceled, basically. And so, yeah, I read the book. I think she's a fairly better writer than I thought. I don't know how much of it is like her writing, but like, okay, I get why you have
She definitely is a ghostwriter. But okay. She also, like, you saw in the early season, she was like a blogger for Pandora or something.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I get why. I was confused about the first book, the like how to be a basic bitch or whatever. I was like, who cares? But I was like, okay, like I kind of get that you have sort of like a writerly, like interesting voice. But the book itself, like because it's crazy because she spends about, I would say like the first two or three chapters in the entire book, or maybe just like two, about the faith incident. And it's just a lot of like, you know, I know, you know, it's all my fault and I don't blame anybody but me, but you should feel bad for me, blah, blah, blah. Like a lot of like qualifying statements like that. Yeah. And then the rest of the book is just like, I'm a mom now. And this is what it's like being a mom in quarantine. And I'm like, so the fact that like, you don't even have to dedicate this book to like, you know, being a better person than the incident itself, like that says a lot, you know. And then to find out that she like is apparently like bought herself onto like the New York Times bestseller list. I was like, of course.
I know. Yeah. So for everyone who doesn't know what that means, on the New York Times bestseller list, if there's a dagger next to the book or the author, that means that they were buying them in bulk, or there were bulk orders for them, which is like a telltale sign that they were trying to make it on the New York Times bestseller mm-hmm. list. So yeah, it's just like, it's typical. And I used to be the biggest Stassi fan, which is so embarrassing, but she always like cracked me up. My favorite, I am the devil and don't you forget it.
Yeah. I loved her birthday meltdowns. I was like, I just love the way she delivers birthday. Like, it's my fucking birthday with the hands.
Yes.
I didn't completely hate her, but.
Yeah, like I was such a big fan. If you actually scroll back to my Instagram, I did like the Vanderpump Rules. They did like a New York City bar crawl back in 2016 that ended up, so many people showed up that we were just standing in line and didn't even get to go into the bar. But Jax and Stassi, I can't remember who else was there, but it was definitely Jax and Stassi because that's who I got selfies with.
Mm-hmm.
And I Instagrammed, I was like backstalking myself on Instagram as one does. And I had an Instagram that was like, met my idol tonight at Stassi Schroeder. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I was like thinking that way in 2016. And now I like cannot stand her. And I have not read the book, but the snippets that I have seen where she's mm-hmm. like, she is playing the victim and being like, my agent dropped me, my manager dropped me, my podcast dropped me, like all of these, like trying to make everyone feel bad for her. And it's like, this isn't about you being the victim. Like, ugh, just gross. Is there anything else you want to say about the Stassi debacle?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where she goes from here. Maybe she'll just keep writing books. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she got to pay for her Rome wedding, I guess. I was shocked that she still had like a huge European wedding.
Oh, I was shocked too. I like didn't even know it was happening until Cara Berry was on last week, who's the host of Everyone's Business with Mine. And she was like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, Stassi is in Rome for the wedding. And I was like, I unfollowed her. So I didn't even realize that was happening. I was like, I'm so out of the loop on Stassi. And I used to like be her biggest fan, which is crazy.
I was paying, I think it was the same day or either the same day or the same weekend as the Hannah Burner wedding, which looks so.
Yes.
Bad, but
I know it's like all but like I feel like Hannah had a really rough go when she got all of that backlash during season 5 and then subsequently mm-hmm. fired, and she's lost a ton of followers and everyone just kind of shits on her still.
I feel like the Giggly Squad army is out there. They're like, they're scary.
No, it's like they're still like selling out their Giggly Squad tours. I'm like, who mm-hmm. listens to this? But But yeah, so I'm like, I wasn't going to comment on like the wedding because it's like, I'm just going to let Hannah be happy. But I will say that, Dez is like so gross. I'm sorry. I think he's so gross, both from his behavior on the show and his behavior on social media. Like, he's so cringe to me.
I've never seen his like Twitter, Instagram, but yeah, he was creepy on that season of Summer House. I was like, ugh.
But it was so interesting how her wedding was the same weekend as Stassi's and Sheena was at Hannah's instead of Stassi's. Like, what?
And I don't even think, like, I think the only Vanderpump Rules people I follow are Ariana, Tom. I think I followed the other Tom, but I didn't see like Ariana or Tom.
Yeah, they weren't at there.
Which, thank God, because I like Tom and Ariana.
Yeah, but. Same. And Ariana, I think, was at Upfronts in New York.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too.
I'm pretty sure. Guys, I mentioned this last week, but I'm just so excited about Adore Me's first ever bridal collection that just dropped. And you're gonna wanna say I do to it. Whether you're walking down the aisle yourself or planning on staying clear of altars for another 20 years, we've got you covered, or your just engaged bestie covered. It's perfect for brides to be, bachelorette party gifts, every bash in between, every shower. Whether you are a bride-to-be, like I said, or you just like some pretty white lingerie, because who doesn't? It'll be the second easiest yes of your life. Go to adoreme.com/bridal-lingerie and don't forget to use my code SOTRUE10 for $10 off. Anyway, like I said, when I was stalking your author page, I want to talk to you about Allison Williams. Because yes, you kind of wrote in defense of her, and I've been thinking about her a lot lately. I don't know why exactly, but I've just kind of been wondering where she's went. Because first of all, I love Girls. Girl, I'm an OG Girls watcher. I watched the first season when it came out. Yeah, like, we've been around to watch the whole thing unfold. And I was such a huge fan of that show. And I know Lena Dunham gets a lot of deserved flack. A lot of it is deserved, but she is one of those, like, the art and the artist, because I love her art. I think that she's like a really great writer. I love her book. I read Not Like Other Girls, and I also read this like journal diary that she published, and she like signed it for a few fans, and that's how big.
I didn't know she released that.
It was back in like 2016. Like, I had really problematic faves in 2016, like Stassi and Lena Dunham.
No, I was down bad for Lena Dunham back in the day. I was like, I love her. She's like so mean, and she's so awkward, and she's so whatever. I mean, she's like, I can't deny, like, her pen is amazing. I think she is very smart about certain things. And I think she's, I don't know, able to like explore a lot of, things about the, what am I saying? Like millennial like 20-year-old experience.
Yeah.
That like aren't really discussed, I guess, or portrayed in other shows quite as well and quite as like, in such like a subtle manner. But yeah, I like her. Allison Williams, are you like a stan? Do you like miss her? Or?
Well, I was... I wouldn't say miss her necessarily, but like, I've been wondering where she went after Get Out, because she was great in Get Out. And also, I just think that it's really funny that like, just everything that went down with Brian Williams, like lying about being in like a helicopter in Afghanistan. And now I like think about that when I think about her, even though I know that she's not her dad.
Right.
But I was thinking, I was like, where did she go?
Yeah, I can't tell if she's just like, because she's like, she's well off. Like, she's fine. I can't tell if she's like picking and choosing. And like Zosia Mamet. I can't tell if she's doing that as well. I know she's in the flight attendant now, but I feel like the two of them haven't like popped off the way I thought they would be. And maybe it's just because like they are like comfortable with that. But yeah, I was surprised that her performance in Get Out was not like, didn't get more like awards buzz. But
yeah, no, she was great. And I think Zhoja or whoever played Shosh. I can't pronounce her name.
Zhoja?
I saw her name on something coming out soon, and I have like the worst memory when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'm like, where did I see this? And I also saw Jemima Kirk build on something soon as well.
Yeah, she's in the Sally Rooney TV show.
Yes.
Conversations with Friends.
Which yes.
I haven't explored the Sally Rooney world yet, but good for her.
So you haven't watched Normal People?
No. I've been like very bad with scripted television over the past like 3 years, I would say.
Oh my God, you have to watch Normal People. And I haven't read any of her books,
mm-hmm.
but I watch Normal People and it's just a sexy, sexual show.
Yeah, I heard about the sex scenes. I don't know. Are they like awkward, like girl sex scenes?
No, the two lead actors, Daisy Edgar Jones and Paul Mescal, have so much chemistry that it's like palpable. It's like the opposite of 50 Shades, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay. I think Paul Mescal is cute.
Oh, he's so hot and apparently engaged to
Phoebe Bridgers.
Phoebe Bridgers. I was about to say Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
It's not the first time someone's mixed them up. So.
I know. It's like their names are way too similar. One of them has to change it.
Right.
But it's so funny how Adam Driver is like far and away the most successful actor to come out of Girls.
Yeah, I kind of predicted it because he was getting like a lot of, especially towards like the end of the show, he kept getting like Emmy nominations for Best Supporting Actor, while like, I think Lena Dunham got nominated for like the first two seasons. But he was really just like, had like the awards presence for the show for like the end of it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing compares to his role as Adam to me. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not like super in love with him as a film actor. He's great, but I don't know. I don't freak out over him the way like Twitter does. I think I just like, I love him in like my girls, the little girl's box that I keep him in. And that's pretty much it.
It's so funny. I remember when me and my friend were first watching Girls, like the first episode in 2012 or whatever when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, he's weird looking. We were like not into him at all. And now he's so hot to me. Like, I think it's like the big stature thing when, you know, everyone freaks out about how large and manly
he is.
He has
like a deep voice.
Yeah. And also the fact that, he's so talented, deep voice, very large. And the fact that he really does not come from like any sort of Hollywood nepotism background at all. He's the opposite of a nepotism child. He comes from Mishawaka, Indiana.
Yeah.
And I just love that about him, I guess.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was like a part of why like it feels like Hollywood like rewarded him more, I guess. Even though like Hollywood supports nepotism like when they want to, but then like, I don't know, I feel like with other people, they're like, you know, specifically with Allison Williams, probably with like the controversy with her dad, they're like, get away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do like that he has humble beginnings, it seems, and he's really just like working his way up.
Yeah. He's such a cutie. Oh, love him. I love him. And he was great in House of Gucci. And then also, I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me, but it was when he played a Jewish man that was infiltrating the KKK.
Black Klansman?
Yes, yes. Amazing movie.
I thought he was good in that. I didn't like that movie, but I liked his performance.
Yeah, he's great. We love you, Adam. I know you listen to this. I always do that. Whenever I talk about a celebrity, I'm like, they're definitely listening right now. Yeah. You've also, speaking of TV, I like my little segues. I'm like, speaking of this.
No, I was literally, I was transcribing an interview before this call. And like every transition I tried to do, I was like, speaking of what I just said, like every question started with that interview.
I need to stop doing that. But this is like kind of related because it's a TV show. But you've also written extensively about Euphoria.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
It is such a cultural phenomenon for some reason where teenagers, I'm like fascinated by the fact that teenagers on Twitter think it's like peak cinema. Like it's like so brilliant. And like they really like pick But they're like, well, this is, you know, symbolic mm-hmm. for this. And they did this on purpose. And I'm like, no, they didn't. Like, Euphoria at its core.
And her sweater was blue. And that's the same color as so-and-so's eyes. And I'm like, all right.
Right.
No, and that literally would have been me if the show came on when I was in high school. But
right. It'll go viral on Twitter and have like 150,000 likes. And it'll be like, oh my God, Sam Levinson is kind of a genius. Because if you think about this, it was foreshadowing for this. And I'm like, I highly, highly doubt any of that was done on purpose. It's really, I think, at its core, like a silly, it has like, you know, those deep moments, but it's like a silly show about degenerate teenagers. It's a formula that's been here since prehistoric times. Gossip Girl, Skins. Like, there's nothing truly groundbreaking about it. I'm sorry. And I know that everyone loves to be like, you know, the addiction storyline. And I'm like, yeah, there is a lot of great mm-hmm. moments that kind of shed light on what it's like to be a person who struggles with drugs, with drug addiction. Yes. But I definitely think it's super overrated. I watch every second of it anyway. But like, why do you think this show has turned into such a freaking cultural phenomenon?
I mean, I think Zendaya, obviously, like,
yes,
people have been waiting for her to have this, like, you know, post-Disney, you know, adults, you know, starring moment. Yeah, Zendaya. I mean, the cast is, like, very likable. They're all very attractive. I am a Jacob Elordi, however you pronounce it, Stan now. I don't know where it came from. I like thought he was very boring looking the first season, and then all of a sudden I think he's like the hottest man in the world. And then yeah, I think it's just like it looks really cool and it has this like sheen of like prestige, and you think you're watching something that's like really important and has all these like lofty ideas about, you know, life and adolescence and blah blah blah. And it's like, not really. It's it's like very messy. It's not a good television show in terms of like, you know, sustaining like narratives that you can actually like follow, and you know, it goes in like a million directions, and it's, you know, it doesn't feel like it's on purpose either. It just feels like messy writing to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just think, and the music, I like the music too, but I think it's more just like the
aesthetics.
Yeah, the aesthetics, and then like the star power of like the cast, because they've all become like A-list celebrities, it seems.
Huge. Sydney Sweeney is everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
She is super talented.
She's very talented. Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, in The White Lotus, she was like great.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, but I heard she's like.
You have to watch that also.
Yeah, no, I was telling someone else this today, I watch Barry, Atlanta, Succession. I didn't even finish Succession, like season two of Succession. But yeah, those are like my main, like all I can my brain can handle right now. But
I actually binged Succession a couple months ago. I can't remember when exactly it was, but I hadn't watched it. And I watched all, I think it's 5 seasons now.
Succession?
Yeah.
I said the second season, the last season with the second. It's on 3 seasons. You're right. Sorry.
Is it 3? Okay. Yeah. Either way, I binged it and I didn't realize that Succession is actually, everyone made it seem like it's like a really serious prestige drama, and it's actually kind of like a comedy, kind of like, I feel like the writing and the dry humor kind of reminds me of Veep or Silicon Valley, which I appreciate. So I loved it.
Yeah. I'm shocked that like, because I feel like the second season, it like ramped up like the comedy a lot more. And yeah, I'm shocked that it's still like considered a drama. Maybe because like the way it looks, I feel like is the only thing that feels like, and the way it's shot, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely, I feel like all the performances are like comedic performances, which is why I like it.
Yeah. And how they all are their characters in real life, which is like so funny.
Cousin Greg, yeah.
Cousin Greg. Okay, moving on. I want to ask you the important questions. What is one thing that you are obsessed with right now?
I am obsessed with the Florence and the Machine album that came out on Friday. It's called Dance Fever. I wrote about it, if you guys want to check out my review. It's just, I've been a fan of her since her first album in 2009. And I feel like she's appreciated, like, very generally on the internet. Like, I feel like people love her voice and they consider her this, like, therapeutic artist, I guess. I feel like she's, like generally appreciated on the internet. Like, people, like, know her music and know, people love, like, Shake It Out and Dog Days Are Over and stuff like that. But I feel like her genius is not really appreciated enough. And I feel like this album is a really good, like encapsulation of, like, the sort of, like, sound, like, refined sound that she's been working towards on her, like, last two albums. And yeah, I just really like it. Jack Antonoff is the executive producer. And I was, like, a little skeptical about that because I feel like he's just, like, tracking down all of these, like, female musicians, getting as many Grammys as he can. But, like, they make, like, a really good pairing, I think. Because they both are into, like, you know, these, like, big epic choruses and, you know, very, like, earnest music. And I liked the result more than I thought I would. So that's what I'm obsessing over currently.
I need to listen to it because I, like, don't discover new music anymore. I just listen to, like, Ashley Simpson's 2004 smash hit album Autobiography on repeat. Like, I never discover new music anymore, so I need to listen to it and, like, get back into the music game. So thank you for the rec.
Yeah, it's good. It's very, I don't know what sign you are, but I'm a Virgo and Florence is also a Virgo, and it's just, like, it was the most, like, Virgo, like, stereotypically Virgo lyrics I've ever heard. She writes a lot of...
I'm a Virgo rising.
Oh, okay.
So I think that it's in my big three. So I very much, like, relate to Virgos. So yeah.
No, she's very open about, like, her anxiety and, like, being a perfectionist and, like, being too sensitive about things. And I'm like, this is too close to home.
But you're like, this is so me.
Yeah, no, literally. I'm like, these are, like, it's beautiful to listen to, but uncomfortable at the same time. But yeah, I love her.
I love it. So what I'm obsessed with right now, I was like, I was going to make this what I'm cringing at, but I'm obsessed with how cringe it is Cara Delevingne lately. And I also mentioned this when I was, like, at this, like, Met Gala party that I, like, recapped for the podcast a couple weeks ago, that her team actually, like, reprimanded a bunch of us for just, like, walking up the stairs for the bathroom. They were like, clear the stairs. And I'm like, she's not A-list not anymore. She's not Rihanna. She's not A-list anymore like she used to be. Like, what? Like, we know that she is allegedly on a lot of drugs, and her behavior is kind of, like, an indicator of that. Because, like, what was that? Was it the BMAs when she was Meg Thee Stallion's plus one? And
yeah.
And, like, everyone, the entire internet was ripping her apart. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing.
I think they actually might be friends, though, which is upsetting. I don't know. I couldn't tell if Meg, like, I don't, like, why was she even there? I couldn't tell. Like, I was like, is she Meg's plus one? Like, because there was no reason for her to be there at all. And that's such, like, a random event to be at, unless you're, like, it's not like the BMAs where you have, like, influencers there. But it's like an industry event.
Yeah. It was so funny, though, because people were trying to, like, act like Cara was just following Meg around. But then a video came out of Meg being like, come on, girl.
Yeah.
To Cara. And it made much funnier. Yeah, we were like, no. But it made it so much funnier for some reason.
I know. It destroyed our fantasy of her hating Cara. I'm still going to believe that she does. But
I know. But I think Meg is just like, she also was at that Met Gala, like, thing. Mm-hmm. And she is, like, it just, and I said this in my recap of the event, that she, like, is just, you can tell, such a genuine angel.
Right.
That I think that she's just a nice person. And not to be like, oh, she's so nice that she, like, is hanging out with her because she feels bad for her. But, like, she's not, like, a mean girl.
Yeah.
I feel like. So
she's very approachable.
Yeah. Like, she is, like, a sweet angel from, like, I even, like, had, like, a brief interaction with her. And I'm like, she's just, like, so freaking sweet. Nice. And so, but yeah, maybe she's just hanging out with Cara because she feels bad for her. But I loved the tweet that was like, nothing embarrassing I've ever done in my life will ever compare to Cara Delevingne
Yeah, and it was like, all my anxiety is gone.
Yeah, she was like, she cured my anxiety. And I was like, oh my God, this is so rough. And so many people being like, Kara went from like an A-list it girl model to like a failed actress to a sex swing carrier and now to like this weird C-list like hanger on. And I'm like, oh my God, this is brutal. Like brutal,
the lashing that she's... I forget that she was in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and Paper Towns.
Paper Towns.
Which yes. I like randomly watched once. I was like, why am I watching this?
The flop John Green follow-up yes. to Fault in Our Stars.
Yes, it was such a flop. But anyway, I'm also cringing at her, but I'm like just obsessed with how cringe she's become. And yeah. I really, like you can't I would look love, away. Yeah, I want to do like a deep dive of like her rise and fall.
It would be, I feel like the first time I heard about her was because she was rumored to be dating Harry Styles. And then I think that was my first, like, interaction with, well, not interaction, but the first time I saw her online.
Right. And she was, like, this cool British it girl who was, like, mm-hmm. so chic and cool. And now we're
with
all, like,
eyebrows. You know. And
yeah, she, like,
so
made bushy
eyebrows.
Yeah, she made bushy eyebrows, like, a thing. And she was, like, all over Tumblr back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So what are you cringing at besides Kara?
I'm cringing at a lot, but I think the thing I'm cringing at them, or the person I'm cringing at the most, is Jack Harlow. So I was watching the Billboard Music Awards because I was like, you know, seeing if anything crazy would happen to write something up about it. And to see him open with someone as legendary as P. Diddy, I was like, this is...
It's gone too far.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's the rappers, like the older rappers who are like co-signing him, like Kanye. Well, Kanye, you know, he's not in his right state of mind, but like yeah. just to see Drake and, you know, other people. And he's not like, I was under the impression that like, okay, maybe he's like really, really good. And I didn't care to find out, but I'm like, all these people are hyping up. I'm assuming that he's like a really good rapper, but like, he's not at all. Like, I think he's worse than Iggy Azalea. Like, he's...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Put that on my tombstone. Wait, that's amazing. Didn't his most recent album get absolutely panned?
Yeah. It had, like, a very tough... I think Pitchfork gave it, like, a 4. Yeah, it was...
Is it, like, a 4 out of 10?
Yeah, it's out of 10.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I think... The main takeaway was that, like, he has no personality and he has, like, nothing to say. And then he had the nerve to write a song about Dua Lipa, who is, like, my pop diva of the moment. Like, she's my fave. And it was bad. Like, it was really embarrassing. Did you see the, because there was a quote going around, because apparently he, like, FaceTimed her and asked her if it was okay because he didn't want to, like, come off creepy. And her response was basically, like, you know, it's not my song. Like, I guess it's okay. Like, it wasn't enthusiastic at all. And I was like, Gen Z is just these people that they idolize. I can't.
I know. Feel the same way. Like, I really cannot. And I'm also, like, not a big TikTok girly. And I feel like mm-hmm. Jack Harlow really blew up on TikTok originally. I don't know. I might be wrong about that. But he got really popular when everyone was on TikTok and, like, obsessing over his TikTok. And I just, like, I never really got on that train. And also, like, it's so funny to look at before pictures before his nose job and chin implant. Just saying.
And he looked really old. I was like, yeah, I don't find him attractive, even with the beard. Like, you're not going to fool me with the beard.
Uh-huh.
Like, he seems not, like, I sense some charm from him, like, when I see him, like, on red carpets and stuff. But I'm like, you shouldn't be the biggest rapper in the world right now. It's just, it's like, we canceled Iggy Azalea and Macklemore for this to happen. Like, why?
Macklemore and Iggy Azalea's careers did not die for this to happen.
But that's the thing. I'm like, even with Iggy Azalea, and I was like into Iggy Azalea when she was out, like, at least like her raps were bad, but at least there was like
substance.
I don't know, not even substance, just like personality. I don't know, just something to like grasp onto with him.
Right.
It's just like
bland
wallpaper. Like it's just, he's, I just find him very boring. And even with McElroy, yeah. I'm like, those two, they could write hooks at least. I don't find his music to be like very entertaining to listen to.
Again, it's like I have not been listening to new music at all recently or like the past few years. Honestly, my top people on my Spotify like Wrapped were Britney Spears, like Rihanna, who hasn't released new music in forever, Drake's like old albums and like John Mayer's old albums. Like that, I like never listen to new music, which I need to start doing. But like at least I can name Iggy Azalea and Macklemore songs. Like I can't name a single Jack Harlow song if I'm being honest.
Yeah, for like the past year when he was popular, I was like, I've literally never heard a song. I think the first song I heard was the Dua Lipa song. And I was like, okay.
I know that there's that one song where he uses like the Fergie.
Yeah, that's First Class.
Yeah.
I was like, this is... And then people are discovering Fergie through him. I'm like,
oh my God, I can't with absurd. Gen Z. That's so frustrating to me. Like Gen Z. I'm sorry, if you're a Gen Zer listening to this, Fergie.
No, I'm like, people might consider, I'm a cusp millennial / Gen Z person.
Ooh,
so
a cusp I don't, over here.
I just don't... I just don't associate. I think of Gen Z as like my 14-year-old niece. I think of Gen Z as like 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
But
it's so funny because every cuss person I meet, I'm like, so what's it like to be Gen Z? They're like, I'm a millennial. But even though they're on the cusp, they never want to be associated with Gen Z. They like want to be associated with millennial.
Yeah. I think because like you, I don't know. I guess because like I don't know. I'd like take the culture from like my like older siblings and stuff. And I feel like their culture is my culture and
right.
all of that. But
it makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely identify more with millennial.
You do have more in common with people or my age than mm-hmm. a 14-year-old. I actually was talking to my 16-year-old cousin when I was like in town in Atlanta the other weekend. Mm-hmm. And he was like explaining the Snapchat streaks. How they're obsessed with keeping up their Snapchat streaks. He was like, I've talked to this girl once, but we have like a 256-day Snapchat streak, so can't break it now. Yeah. And I was like, what? I'm like, why? No,
that's what my niece does. We'll just be like, I don't know, going to like the movies or something, and then she'll be like, I'll just hear like the camera flash go off like a million. I'm like, what are you doing?
Snapchat.
She's like, it's a streak. I can't break it. I'm like, why? Is it like 7 years of bad luck?
Like, yeah, like I don't understand like... what it is with, like, their Snapchat streaks. Like, that is something about Gen Z that, like, I will never be able to grasp because people my age, like, don't really use Snapchat anymore. And we certainly yeah. don't use it to keep up, like 7 year Snapchat streaks. Like, what?
Yes.
It's so yeah, strange.
Yeah, we need to study this.
I know.
We need to, what that's about.
We need to study Gen Zers' brains. I am going to actually stay on the topic of rappers for what mm-hmm. I'm cringing at. I am cringing at Travis Scott's rebrand. The way that I feel like everyone is kind of like moving on collectively from the Astroworld tragedy. And I'm not really ready to move on yet. I know that the families of the victims of the tragedy definitely aren't ready to move on yet. And I just like find it so disrespectful. And I know that you also wrote about P. Diddy being like, I'm canceling cancel culture. And
I'm like, are you just are you just like taking away these, I don't know, like people are still grieving. Like you can't just right. be like, it's okay, everything's forgiven. Like,
no. Right. Because it's not like he just said something offensive. Like,
right.
people literally died.
I'm like, no, like, people died.
Yeah. And
which I thought was so funny to put him in the same, like, Morgan Wallen obviously is, like, a terrible person. And, yeah. like, the way that, like, he has just been able to, like, thrive is, like, disgusting to me.
Yes.
But, like, I thought it was kind of ridiculous. Like, someone who, like, obviously says something super terrible to be like, I'm canceling this person. And then, like, Travis Scott, who has, like, literal blood on his hands. Like, it's like,
right.
what are we doing?
Right. And you would think that Travis Scott, or you would hope he would have the wherewithal to kind of go away for a while, like, mm-hmm. as a sign of respect for these families. And these are 10 different families. Like, it's not a small number. We're in the double digits of many, 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 many people that were affected. Mm-hmm. And
others
like,
were injured. So.
And others were injured. Others were traumatized. There was one story that came out just recently about a pregnant woman who lost her baby from getting trampled or suffocated. And yeah, it's just like, it's so horrible. And you would hope that he would have the wherewithal to kind of stay out of the public eye just out of respect. Mm-hmm. But he clearly doesn't. He's walking red carpets with Kylie and Stormy again. And
no, did you see his, I feel like it was exactly like 6 months when he like reappeared on Instagram and he was like, I'm back. So I'm like, oh, you're the victim in this situation. Okay.
And a lot of his fans will say that he is the victim. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I know that, you know, he has some bangers. I actually haven't. Travis Scott, I just have random big playlists and I'm just like, no, I muted him on Spotify. But I think that maybe part of it is like, well, got to make money for all these lawsuits I'm going to have to pay. So like, better get back to work. Like, maybe it's that. But like, it really is just such a sign of disrespect. And I hate it. And I hate how they're like really dragging Stormy along to all of these things because I feel like they want the image of like family man for him. Mm-hmm. And also the videos of him interacting with Kylie, he hates her. Like, he does not like her.
Are these like candid like videos or like?
He'll like leave her alone. He'll be like, okay, pose for a family shot and then run away and like leave her. And then she's awkwardly standing there on the red carpet. And you know that Kylie is like very socially awkward and like socially anxious. And I act like I like know Kylie personally, but like I kind of do at this point. And she like, there was one video. This was from the Billboard Music Awards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was one video where she like went in for a kiss on the lips and he kissed her on the cheek. And yeah, it's like very clear that he really, from what I am getting, does not really give a shit about her. And that's why he kind of doesn't really claim her on social media ever. And he apparently has that full-time real girlfriend who's not Kylie Jenner, but I forget her name.
Oh. Yeah, they've never had chemistry to me. I've never been like, thought they were cute. I remember they did this like very try hard. I think it was GQ or Esquire, some men's magazine. They did like a cover and a photo shoot and it was just like very awkward.
Wait, was it the W magazine that leaked and they ended up canceling it because it was like after Astroworld?
Yeah, I know what you're talking. It was the one before. They had one before.
Oh, the GQ, I think it was, like YouTube video.
Yeah, I think it was before. I remember that. Or maybe it was, yeah, I think it was before they had Stormy maybe. But yeah, I was like, this is not it.
He like didn't even know her dog's names. Like he didn't even know her dog's
nothing.
Names.
And then when he like, she's like, what's my middle name? And he gets the question. She like runs over to him and like hugs him. I'm like, the bar is on the floor. The bar.
It really is. Like, he, like, literally knew nothing about her, and it's so embarrassing for her. And I figured after Astroworld that, like, the Kardashian-Jenner machine would kind of just cut their losses and be like, mm-hmm. It's not worth it to be associated with him anymore.
I mean, they won't even get rid of Tristan, which is crazy to me. They're keep, like, why are you guys encouraging, like, I know that he's the father of her child, but it seems like they would, like, it would be a better look for them to just, like, cut. Because he is, like, in the wrong, obviously. So, like, I feel like it would be a better look for them to cut off this, like, basketball player who nobody really cares about outside of his cheating scandals. So,
right.
They're not going to let go of Travis.
So. Right. It's so, so embarrassing. And I feel like, also, it just makes them look, I think it affects public perception of them. Because it's, like, if the men in their lives can't even treat them with respect, like, why would we? Like, it just makes them look like they have zero self-esteem and that.
Well, they're very traditional. They're very, like, you can tell they're, like, you know, Christian-raised girls.
True.
And, you know, you have to put up, like, even the way they, like, I like Scott in his, like, occasionally funny moments. And I think that he's a good, like, audience surrogate, like whenever he's on the show and he's like pointing out how ridiculous they are, but like the way he acts is like crazed, and they will just like, particularly Chloe, because I think they're like BFFs or something, the way they will just like excuse his behavior over and over again is just like, yeah, they tend to just give the men a pass in that family.
They really do. They really do. And I agree with you on Scott. Like, I do like him in doses. I do not ever root for him and Courtney getting back together because he's toxic. And at this point, they definitely won't. But yeah, I feel for him because he has no family in the world. Mm-hmm. And now the Kardashians, if you've been watching the Hulu show, which I like wasn't, but then I like binged it because I was doing nothing this weekend. And he, you can tell that he's very devastated about kind of being let go by the family in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He does. I remember his, both his parents died like very close to one another.
Yeah, they did. But like he's done so many fucked up things over the years. And he always kind of like, they were like, well, it's just Scott being Scott. And he always kind of got a pass. But it seems like they're kind of just like, they've moved on because Courtney.
They're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to make things like awkward with Travis now.
Right, exactly. So. But anyway, yeah, I feel like that's it for my list. And now you have an apartment viewing. You're looking at apartments in New York.
Yes, I'm looking at a place in Crown Heights. I talked to someone the other day about a place in Bushwick, just like anywhere I can land. I'm just like ready to get the process over with.
Oh my God. But I'm so excited for you. And please hit me up when you move here so we can hang out. I am so excited for you.
Are you in Manhattan?
Yes, I'm in Lower East Side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I am pretty close to Brooklyn. I walk the Williamsburg Bridge like all the time. But where can everyone find you? I know that we were talking about your author page on the Daily Beast a lot, but where other than that?
Truly the only other place I'm at regularly is Twitter. So at Kindle, KYNDALL, Renee. Just find me there. It's also on my Daily Beast page.
Amazing.
I don't really use Instagram, so.
I'm really bad at Instagram, too. I literally have it in my bio. I'm like, I'm better on Twitter. Go follow me there. But
no,
thank you.
I just, like, stalk people, so.
I know. Same. I, like, go on it to, like, look at other people, but then I, like, never give content myself, really. But we're both Twitter people. It's just like, you know.
I prefer to be a Twitter person than an Instagram person.
Same. But everyone, please go follow Kendall and please go read her amazing articles. Go like binge read some of them because they're all amazing. She's an incredible writer and she covers so many juicy topics that we love to talk about in this show. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Okay, bye everyone. That was awesome. Please go follow Kendall on Twitter. It's at Kendall Renee, KYNDALLRENE. And go read her amazing articles on thedailybeast.com. They're seriously amazing. She's so talented. Friendly reminder that you can follow Lil Ol' Me on Twitter at Soph Ross with 4 S's and Soph_Ross on Instagram. Thank you so much to Adore Me for sponsoring. The new bridal collection is so chic. And if you don't believe me, go check it out yourself at adoreme.com/bridal-lingerie and use my code SOTRUE10 for $10 off. Thank you so much to Bob Mallory for producing, even as you get ready to go on your bachelor party. And thank you for listening. See you next week. Love ya. Bye. No.